Apostle Joshua Selman. Hallelujah. Wave your hands and shout hallelujah. Thank you very, very much for the love, the warmth, the hospitality. I think I love you more than you love me. Hallelujah. I love Taraba. I have, when I came in, I was telling the people at the airport, I said I must eat roasted corn. Let me list all the things that I must eat in Taraba before I go back. Praise the name of the Lord. But while standing, can we honor his lordship, Bishop Foreman Nedison and his dear wife. Please go ahead and honor them. Let's give them a big God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Secondly, please allow me to stand on the existing protocol first to honor all the bishops here represented, the Anglican bishops, and then all the men, the women of God, and politicians, businessmen, and everyone who has come to receive from God. I honor you sincerely from my heart in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to say one or two things before we sit. And that really is to commend the bishop and the organizers of this perennial program. I see it as a spiritual intervention program for the North. Honestly speaking. And we hold this every year, and I'm excited every time the invite is extended to me. No matter the sacrifice, I do my best to come because, one, I love Jesus. Number two, I love the state, but I understand what God is using this program among many to do across the region. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, Peter, Satan desired to sift you like wheat. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith will fail not. He says, and when you are converted, he said, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. And so for me, I see it as a combination of a pastor's conference, a renewal conference, a crusade, an apostolic convergence, everything in one meeting together. And thank you very much for allowing this city and this region to host this kind of convergence. To Jesus be all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands.
Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you've rescued the wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. Grace that our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger.
You are the one, lift your voice and sing for one time.
You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Always hunger for. Oh, our hearts
always hunger. Would you lift your hands and lift your voices in 1 minute and ask the Lord again for an encounter? We have come as proof that we know He's in our midst. We have come as proof that we know He has much in store for us. Please lift your voice and pray. Whether you are following by television, you are following by way of internet, or you are here on site, let your eyes be on Jesus, no distraction. Lift your voice. 1 minute. It's part of the meeting. You are praying. You're praying. You're praying to the King.
You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore.
Keep praying.
You give the healing and grace that our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Spirit of the living God, our hearts are open tonight. From every tribe, every tongue, across the nations of the earth, across many denominations, we have gathered in your name to receive, to learn, to grow, to access help. We thank you for your presence. It is your presence that makes a difference. And so we pray that you will speak to our hearts. We humble ourselves and we tremble at your word. Let flesh die and give way. So that we can receive from you. Glorify Jesus in our midst tonight. Build the saints. Empower us. Let ministries be strengthened. Let servants of the living God be strengthened and encouraged and empowered again. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Please, you may be gloriously seated. Hallelujah. The ministry of the word achieves a number of things in the life of believers. Every time the word of God comes forth, it sustains the power to achieve a number of things in the lives of those who care to listen and to pay attention. Number one, the word of God brings illumination and enlightenment. Illumination and enlightenment. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning from verse 16, Paul was praying over the church in Ephesus. And he said that he did not cease to give thanks and to make mention of them. And he prayed that God would grant them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The next verse says that their eyes, the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Amplified will say be flooded with light that you may know. So when the word of God comes, it brings illumination. Illumination means it opens up your spirit and opens up your mind to an awareness of what is there. Number two, the word of God brings understanding. Illumination is concerned with making you aware, but understanding helps you to comprehend. That is where the profit point of light is. You can be aware of a truth. You can be aware of a possibility. And yet it never blesses you. So he calls it the eyes of your understanding. Scripture says he opened their understanding that they might understand scripture. Number three, the word of God brings empowerment. Empowerment. It doesn't just stop at bringing understanding. Else, what would be the difference between the word, the ministry of the word, and an intelligent lecture? There is empowerment that comes with the word. The Bible says, in that sun-like splendor is the hiding place of his power. So when the word of God comes again, it brings illumination, enlightenment. Number two, it brings understanding, the faculty of comprehension. And then number three, it brings empowerment. I'm saying this so that as we delve into the word for the time that we have, it's important to not just say amen. It's important to not just write, but to build an expectation in your spirit that this is what God is doing now. He's opening my eyes to see, or he's opening my eyes to see clearer. One time, Jesus laid hands on someone and he said, "What do you see?" And the man said, "I see, but I see men like trees." He said, "No, no, no. There needed to be a second touch." So for some of you, the ideas we're going to be communicating will be new. For others, it may not be new, but it will come at another dimension of understanding that will bring you into dominion. Regardless what the expectation is, I'm praying for you tonight that God will surpass that expectation. In the name of Jesus. The second thing I want to say very quickly is that God's strategy is always his word. His strategy for achieving anything in the kingdom is by his word. The way he builds men is by his word. The way he heals and delivers is by his word. The way he restores is by his word. The way he imparts is by his word. That means every time the word of God is coming, imagine a chef having a tray. That tray is the word of God. On it are a buffet of dishes, delicacies, healings, deliverances, whatever it is. When you see someone carrying a tray and coming to you, you begin to rejoice because you know that there are things in that tray that are for you. That's how the word of God is. So for some, whilst the word is coming, with it you will receive healings. With it you will receive deliverances. With it you will receive direction. Are we together now? Say, "I receive the word." Shout it like you're serious. Say, "I receive the word." You can reject the word. That means not everybody chooses to receive him. As many as receive him, he gave them power to become because they received him. He says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost." That means you can reject power by rejecting the one who brings it. Say again, "I receive the word." Amen. So we'll be considering, I like to teach before we pray. Miracles, signs and wonders are very powerful. They give witness to the fact that God is love, the fact that he's mighty, and the fact that he's in the midst of his people. But miracles don't build people. Many of the people Jesus healed still doubted him. Even the one who was raised from the dead still doubted him. Hallelujah. Miracles, signs and wonders are powerful, but that is not the bedrock of growth in the spirit. And when you teach the word and you build people, and perhaps I should say this, the ministry of the word, in order for the ministry of the word to edify, there are four dimensions of it that must be captured. This may be a blessing to pastors particularly. In ministering the word, we must open up our hearts to communicate these four dimensions. Number one, doctrine. The first dimension that edifies as far as the ministry of the word is concerned is doctrine. Doctrine comes from the Greek word didaskalia. The Latin is doctrina. It talks about instructions, a body of knowledge that empowers and strengthens. It's like a lecture manual that turns a student to be like the lecturer. Doctrine. If believers are not grounded doctrinally, they will not be effective in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Doctrine are the foundational precepts upon which the Christian faith is built on. No matter what else you learn, if your foundation is not on doctrine, your Christian experience is not built on a rock. Number two, in addition to doctrine, the principles or the mysteries of the kingdom. This is the second layer that the teaching ministry must capture. The principles or the mysteries of the kingdom. While doctrine is important and foundational, That cannot be the only scope of the teaching ministry. So number two, the principles of the kingdom. For an example, Jesus did not teach too much of doctrine because at the time he was not yet dead and he had not resurrected. Most of the doctrinal teachings are caught in the epistles. Hallelujah. But Jesus communicated the mysteries or the principles of the kingdom, beginning from the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. When you read, that discussion went through. He began to contrast kingdoms and how they operated. Okay, this is how you do it here. But in the kingdom, this is how we operate. Are we together? Believers must understand the principles of the kingdom. Doctrine is responsible for building conviction. But the principles of the kingdom are responsible for bringing victory. If you do not have an understanding of the principles of the kingdom, your faith will be unshakable, but you will not be a winner in the spirit. Number three, the third area that the teaching ministry must capture for it to be effective is wisdom for living. Wisdom for living. Jesus did not shy away in telling us that we are not alone in this kingdom. He let us know that we are in the midst of people of different races, different religions, different spiritual orientations, and that we have to learn to coexist with our environment, even if it's an environment that is not compliant to our faith. This is where wisdom for living comes. Believers must know how to live as sheep in the midst of wolves. So there are people who are doctrinally sound. They understand the principles of the kingdom, but they fail in the place of work because they do not understand, say for an example, people skills. They do not understand how to communicate effectively. These ones are not doctrine, but there's a wisdom that empowers you. You see, doctrine has to do with those in the faith. The principles of the kingdom has to do with those in the kingdom. But wisdom for living has to do with those who are on earth. So it goes beyond the church walls and helps you to live effectively within society. Are we learning now? And finally, the final area that must be captured in a productive word ministry is a word compliant worldview. Christians must know how God looks at things. Matters of politics, matters of governance, matters of business. There has to be a lens, a vista through which a Christian interprets national or global issues. When you meet, say for an example, when you meet a Muslim or when you meet a Hindu or a Buddhist, aside from their core convictions, they have a way they are trained to look at the world. Their interpretation, if you sit down and you discuss with them in a panel discussion, they will approach life from a certain angle. But most believers do not have a vista and a template for interpreting the world. Are we together? It's very important. And believers must be trained in church to not just be spiritually and societally irrelevant. You must be able to interpret happenings at a global scale from the lens of faith. This is more important if you occupy a position of influence. There are men and women who are in government here. It's important that because you are a Christian, you must be able to look at life in a way. Are we together? Yes. Being a child of God cultures your approach. You have to be able to see life from a prophetic standpoint. See life through the lens of scripture. And if believers are not trained, you will find a lot of godly people who are very ignorant as far as global trends are concerned. And yet Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5 from verse 13 to 16, he says you are the salt of the earth, not just members of a church, salt of the earth. He says you are the light of the world. He said if a salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is hence good for nothing except to be thrown down and trampled under foot of men. Then he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on an hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp, it says, and put it under a bushel, but that they put it on a candlestick. Why? So that it will give light to all those who are in the room. That means there are others in the room waiting for that light so that they will see too. It says, on account of that, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If you've learned something so far, say amen. Again, this is not a pastor's conference, but I told you it's a blend of so many things in one conference. As a man of God, you must ensure as you build people, this is how to raise wholesome believers that are apostolic in their mentality and effective, relevant both to God and society. Again, let me recap for one last time. Doctrine, number one. Number two, the principles or the mysteries of the kingdom. Number three, wisdom for living. So that a man does not become a very sincere man but a foolish father. That one is not lack of doctrine. It's that there is no wisdom for living. Are you seeing that now? Yes. Perhaps this is already a revelation for a pastor. You can gauge your members against these four indices and know where you are missing in your sermons. And know what to go and introduce when you go back. Doctrinally, some of them may be very fine, but your marriages are breaking down, things are not working well, the interpersonal relationship, they are not good in it. That means there's need for wisdom for living. So you capture topics that help to build the people in that area. Never criticize people in an area you did not train them. How did I get? I've not started my let's get back to my teaching. Taraba, you invited me. So we're starting with the pastor's conference, but let's get back to our discussion. There are more than pastors here, so hallelujah. When I saw your topic for consideration, I was very touched in my heart. I mean, and you know, I'm very philosophical in my thinking. I take everything in my life seriously. God, things, life, topics. So when I saw that topic, I said, really? I mean, should I really teach about this? But then you gave me the topic, so I'll walk within the boundary of the topics in the name of Jesus Christ. Someone shout, my case is different.
My case is different.
Some of you are still unsure. Shout, my case is different.
My case is different.
Amen. So I'll be taking a two-part series. We'll start the first one today. We'll teach for a few moments, then we'll have some time to pray, and then we'll resume and finish up. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that as we consider this topic, God will open our hearts. And this will be a most edifying session in the name of Jesus. And let me speak to those who are watching maybe by way of internet or television. You would want to call someone around to sit and learn. It is always profitable when we pay attention to the teaching of God's word. Hallelujah. So we'll be doing a two or three part series that I title Above Only. Above Only. We'll be examining the keys to exemption and all-round victory. Above only. So the entire discussion will capture our exploring the various kingdom keys that are responsible for exemption and then responsible for all-round victory. Someone shout, above only. All right, so Job chapter 22, please, and verse 29. We'll look at two scriptures very quickly. Do I have a screen here? Okay, beautiful. Job 22, 29. It says, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say in Taraba, thou shalt say, there is a lifting up. It says, and it shall save a notebook or use your notepad. Shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. You believe that? Say amen. It says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all your ways. It says, they shall bear thee up on their hands, lest thou dash your foot against a stone. It says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under your feet. Verse 14. It says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he had known my name. 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. Final verse 16. It says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. I wish I didn't have to start this way. But the destiny of all men, unassisted by God, and from a natural man's standpoint, is highly unpredictable, in many regards, very disappointing. with no certainty whatsoever. When you consider the life of a natural man, that means any man, when you don't bring in the subject of faith as an advantage, when you consider life from a philosophical standpoint, from a sociological standpoint, when you examine living and you examine life from the standpoint of a philosopher, sometimes you'll be left with fear because all that you will deduce from your observation is uncertainty, confusion, fear. Are we together? The average person who is at least 20 years would have had captured in his life stories of confusion, stories of sicknesses, stories of oppression, stories of injustice. Are we together? Stories of betrayal. And you would think it's unique to you until you hear the story of another person, then another person, and then you will think it's unique to your locality. Until you travel to another locality, you will hear the same story. Then you will think it's unique to your nation. Until you travel to another nation, and it looks like a common thread. All men, it seems like a common destiny befalls all men from a philosophical and a sociological standpoint. It is not unusual today when you hear people say, I am sick. You say, oh dear, it happens to all men. I'm looking for money. Oh dear, it happens to all men. I lost a loved one. Oh dear, it happens to all men. Someone just betrayed me. They said, well, Rayuwa Hakane, are we together now? So it seems like the destiny of the natural man, by natural I mean one who is not connected to God, one who is not connected to faith. When you make an intelligent assessment, looking at life from a philosophical standpoint, you will agree with the teacher, Solomon. He said, of reading many books, there is no end, and much study is only a weariness to the flesh. He said many times in his rendition, vanity upon vanity. He says, all is vanity. And he made his conclusion by saying, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments. He said, for this is the whole duty of man. I mean, that was a communication of frustration from a man who explored life from the most vantage position any man can have. He barely had any wars. In fact, he did not have any. His father fought all the wars. He had money. He had women. He had notoriety. He had everything. He worshipped different gods. He explored religions. He did all kinds of things. He backslided. He repented. All kinds of things. And the man said, listen, my conclusion after living long enough as a king, living long enough as many things, is that vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. Pay close attention. Are we together now? So when you are talking about your case being different, it's important for you to understand this, the bedrock upon which this topic is going to be built on. That all men unassisted by God, all men outside of the advantage of faith, seem to have at a macro level the same destiny. Now, different people will have certain privileges. Others by default are born, say, as we know, with a silver spoon. Others are more privileged economically than others. Others are more privileged educationally than others. Others are more privileged in terms of territorial, you know, place of growth than others. But how many of you know that eventually the same lot catches up with everyone? When sickness comes, all those factors don't stand again. When oppression comes, all those factors don't stand again. A professor can be in the hospital together with an illiterate. A godly man can be in a hospital together with another. Are we together? An intelligent man can beg for money standing close to a foolish man. And then you wonder, what is the advantage? What exactly is the edge? At what point can I say I'm not a victim? Because if it's educationally, it looks like the same thing happens to both the educated and uneducated. If it's in terms of money, a time comes when both the rich and poor, they cry the same cry. So what then becomes the edge? Now, we're ready to do our discussion. Is somebody learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. So, the natural man's reality, with respect to sicknesses, failures, disappointments, confusion, betrayal, uncertainties, it seems to be the lot of every man by default. What is exemption? Because the whole theme, my case is different, attempts to speak on the fact that for those who are in Christ, that there is a possibility when you come into Christ, that even though all that I explain should be the natural experience of men, but that there is an advantage that a man stands to enjoy. Are we together? That the moment a man is grafted into Christ, beyond just being saved, beyond just being born again, that you are introduced into a system that provides an advantage. Not an advantage that is arbitrarily, an advantage that can be demonstrated and proven in your life here and now. But very quickly, let's define exemption. What does it mean to be exempted? I'll give you two definitions very quickly. Are you learning? To be exempted, I wrote here, means to be free from an obligation or a liability that is imposed on others. To be exempted means to be free from an obligation or a liability that is imposed on others, either by men, by circumstances, or by spiritual factors. I'll take my time again because I want you to write this and then we'll continue our teaching. To be exempted means to be free. Free from an obligation or a liability that is imposed on others, either by men, imposed on others, by circumstances, or imposed on others by spiritual factors. You have that down? To be exempted means to be excluded from a consequence. To be excluded from a consequence. When you say a person is exempted, or the person is exempted, it means that he or she has found a way to be excluded from a consequence. A final definition. Exemption also means immunity and dominion over everything that threatens the victory and the liberty of the believer. I'll take that again. This one now is to those who are connected to faith and those who are in Christ. Exemption also means immunity and dominion over everything that threatens victory and threatens liberty in the believer's life. Everything that can threaten victory and liberty in your life, by the time you sustain immunity and dominion over it, we say you are walking in the reality of exemption. May this be someone's testimony. You believe that? Shout amen. Hallelujah. Now, the next question tonight is, how real is exemption? Haven't given you a graphic picture of the fact that it looks like the same tragedies befall all men, and it seems like at a larger scale, both the righteous and unrighteous seem to experience the same thing, the educated and the uneducated. It looks like the same destiny philosophically befalls all men. And now we're approaching a topic that seems to say that although that may seem to be the philosophical reality, but that there is a way a man can rise above these vicissitudes of life. But first and foremost, it's important that we believe that exemption is real, that a man can rise above the limitations. Are we together? The limitations of confusion, the limitations of fear. Look up, please. The limitations of oppression, the limitations of failure, the limitations of satanic attack, the limitations of poverty, that it is possible in your lifetime to rise above this and to function experientially in victory and dominion. But how real is this? Is this a lofty church talk from a preacher? Is it true that a man in his lifetime can walk in this reality? Let's consider two examples. Exodus chapter 8, please. From verse 22 to 23. I just want to give you at least two biblical proof of exemption. That a man can rise above. A man can be victorious. In spite of all of these realities that plague our society. It says, and I will sever in that day in the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. The 10 plagues now. to the end that thou mightest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. He says, and I will put a division. Can we have NIV of this version, our media people? Is it possible to give us NIV? I'd like you to see how NIV presents this. If you can find NIV for us, and it won't waste time, let's look at it quickly. NIV, New International Version. Okay, beautiful. Now, go back to 22 and let's see what it says. It says, but on that day, I will deal differently. Someone receive it as a prophetic word. I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, I am in this land. Verse 23. It says, I will make a distinction between my people and your people. It says, this sign will occur tomorrow. That when men say there is a casting down, you will come out and boldly with all humility say, in the name of Jesus, I have found a way of saying that there is a lifting up. You see, let me tell you this. If I don't show you this from scripture, you may not, because you are in church, but a part of you will not agree. Is it true that a man can be free from sickness? Is it true that a man can be free from poverty? Is it true that a man can be free from addiction? Can you walk in the experience of victory as though Satan does not exist? It is true. Scripture number two. How real is exemption? Genesis chapter 4, 13 to 15. Genesis chapter 4, 13 to 15. Remember, when Cain and Abel, the story, Cain kills his brother Abel, and then the blood of Abel cries, and then the Lord comes and says, Cain, what is this that you have done? And he cursed Cain, and Cain in responding made a statement that shows the power of exemption. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He says, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Read the last sentence if you are able to see and read. One, two, go. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. What did the Lord set? He set a mark upon Cain, that outside of that mark, anyone who saw him would kill him. But because he placed a mark of exemption, Cain cried and said, my punishment is too great. Any man that sees me on account of the pronouncement that has come upon me will deal with me in a certain way. And the Bible says, God, place a mark. I pray for you. By the reason of this teaching and this conference, the mark of exemption that must rest upon you, rest on your ministry, rest on your children, you will receive it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. I wish I had the time, would have looked at Daniel chapter 3 from verse 24 to 28. The Bible talks about three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. On account of the king's pride, he built a 90-foot statue, pure gold. And he said at the sound of timbrel and, you know, instruments of music, that everyone would bow and worship that golden statue. And there were three Hebrew boys who said, oh king, we are not careful to answer you on this matter. We know that our God will deliver us. But even if he does not deliver us, let it be clear unto you that we are determined that we will not bow unto you. The Bible says in response, the king became angry and ordered the people to make the furnace seven times hotter. Are we Bible students? And they were thrown into the fiery furnace to a point that those who threw them became victims of the fire themselves. To tell you how serious that was. But the Bible says, as soon as these gentlemen stepped in, my goodness, they began to walk freely. Their chains and that which bound them did not seem to hold again. And the Bible says they became four. And the king looked and said, were there not three men? I see four men, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And he ordered that they bring them out. And the Bible takes time to meticulously describe the extent of their exemption. He said, these were men who their hair was not even burnt, and these were men that the fire had no power over them. Fire should burn, but not everyone. Fire should burn, but not under every condition. Hallelujah. That those who killed those gentlemen, these are not parables. It actually happened. They were burned because of the extent of the fire. And they killed these guys. Even if you threw metal in that furnace, metal being gold, it will melt. And yet these guys were there. And the Bible says they were moving around. There is such a mystery of exemption. Do you believe this? Yes. That though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Are we Bible students? Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1 and 2 says, fear not, I have redeemed you. It says, I have called you by name, you are mine. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, it will not overwhelm you. It says, when you walk through fire, it will not burn you. Do you believe that? Shout amen, Taraba. One time the Bible says Jesus was up the cliff, and on account of his lofty propositions about God and the fact that he was one with God, the people were angry and they sought to throw him. 4 quaternions, they bound his hand and feet, waiting that after Easter they would deliver him to the people. The Bible says they had kept him that night, but prayer was made by the church unto God for him. And whilst Peter was there, the Bible tells us that an angel came there and he stepped in and light shone in the prison. The door opened, the chains fell, and Peter got up. The angel beckoned on him to follow him. The Bible says Peter himself thought he was in a vision, and he passed the first door, the second door, the third door, the door, the gates that leads to the city, and Peter went. Exemption. The Bible is full of men and women who were exempted. Exempted from evil. Men and women. There was such a man in the Bible called Moses, that when Moses was born, there was a decree influenced by the spirit of the Antichrist to kill all the children. And the Bible tells us that the mother just let him in a basket, as though, whatever, let me not watch my child die. But the hand of God that exempts men took that man through the Nile and brought him. Are we together now? And Pharaoh's daughter saw him and loved him and carried him, and the man grew in the palace, the man who would deliver God's people. Exemption is real. Don't get too used to pain. Exemption is real. Don't get too used to failure. Exemption is real. Don't get too used to defeat. Exemption is real. Do you believe this now? Someone say, I'm above all. Prophesy, say, I'm above all. Remember, this is a conference where you have to participate. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the lifted of the Lord say so. Let the blessed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Exemption. It is true that men can be exempted from the plagues that befall men. While it is an honest admission that life is generally unfair to the man who is not assisted, even naturally. How many of you know that you can find two people, and because one has either a political advantage or an economic advantage, within the frame of what those advantages can provide, that person may seem to be at a vantage position. Am I right on that? I was thinking as I was making my notes for this session. You see how unfair life can be. There are many people today who as individuals are so foolish, but their advantage is the nations they were born from. And as foolish as they are, the advantage of the nation still makes them higher than many wise people in other nations. Now, I hate to admit that, but it's an uncomfortable truth. There are many determined, well-behaved children, but simply because of the kinds of families they came from. Are we together? Have you seen a well-behaved child who, except God helps him, will still not go anywhere? Because within the context of that child's environment, even that disciplinary life would not speak so much.
But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, You lift my head. But thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head.
That will be your song after this conference.
But thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, you lift my head. But thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me, you're my glory, the lifter up of my head.
Your life will be such a sign and a wonder. Men will ask you and say, we were born from the same family. We all grew up in Taraba. What changed about your life? What changed about your ministry? And you will tell them, I came from Peniel and I found the keys that can make a man above all. I found the keys that can exempt a ministry. I found the keys that can exempt a destiny. You believe that, shout amen. Your case can be different. Oh yes, it can be different. And I'll be showing you how. But just settle it for a fact. The lot of all men does not have to be my lot. Within the economy of the kingdom, I have the power to redefine my possibilities. Sit down. The Bible talks about a man. Are we Bible students? The Bible talks about a man called Jabez. Did you ever read about such a man called Jabez? I like the presentation of scripture. So it tells us the end of the story before it tells us what happened. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. But it was not always so. Then it says, on account of the sorrow that the mother went through, she called him Jabez. And that prophecy began to speak in the life of that gentleman. You can imagine that that gentleman grew up finding out all kinds, a plethora of disadvantages. One day, the Bible says, and Jabez called unto the God of heaven. It says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Indeed, enlarge my tent. Let it be well with me. The Bible says, God heard him. Let me tell you the truth. God is going to be handing for someone the keys to redefine your destiny. I know your father died when you were small, but you can still change your reality. Is someone learning now? That God will be empowering you. You will look at life and say, no, I found the key. I don't have to cry forever. I don't have to be weak forever. Now, thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph. Not sometimes, always. 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 Final scripture, then I'll begin to show you the keys. Did you ever read a portion of scripture that says, though your beginning be small, though your what? So it tells you what part of your life is permitted to remain small. Beginning. Beginning. Anything greater than beginning, you should start fighting it. If beginning is small, that's all right. If beginning of ministry is small, that's all right. If beginning of your financial journey, that's all right. But once it goes beyond beginning, though your beginning is small, it says your latter end should. It didn't say will, it says should. If you let it so, should greatly increase. Hallelujah. Please listen to me. Transformation is a concept that both science, philosophy, and religion agrees that it's a possibility. Whether you approach it using physics, chemistry, biology, you will still find the possibility of a change of state. Transformation. Whether you approach it philosophically, are we together? Through enlightenment, transformation can happen. Whether you approach it through faith, a man can be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear son and have the renewal of mind. I'm going somewhere now. That it is possible for a man to change state physically, financially, spiritually, and otherwise. In other words, you don't need to remain where you are. in the same condition indefinitely. The possibility for change is a gift God gave every man. The prodigal son understood this. And the Bible says, having gone far from his father, and he was now degenerated, he was feeding with the swine. One day he got up and said, listen, how many hired servants does my father have? And I'm here feeding with the swine. He said, I will arise. I need to change my state. I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Take me as one of the servants. And the Bible says, for making that decision, he got up, he took a step and changed his condition. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, while it is true that we can be above all, while it is true that a life of dominion, victory, a life of ever-increasing glory is our destiny in Christ, regardless what is prevalent in our world, I need you to know that change, dominion, victory, and liberty does not happen to the believer under every condition. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. Those who cook well, you know that the food, the meal you produce is not under every condition. There are conditions. The assignment of a chef is to create the conditions that make that meal happen. And it will happen. Are we together? Yes. There are conditions. There are soups that if you violate the condition, you will produce something else. And there are certain foods that creating the condition is so delicate, you have to be careful. Being victorious, manifesting exemption does not happen under every condition. And I'm going to be showing you the conditions that are necessary for any individual, including you and I, to walk in the reality of dominion, the reality of exemption, and the reality of all-round victory. Not circumstantial victory, all round victory. If you believe this, open your mouth and pray for 1 minute, and I begin to show you the keys. Open your mouth and pray for 1 minute. Light is coming to you now. Above all, you're about to learn the keys to a life of exemption and all round victory. Victory, regardless your location. Victory regardless your current failures. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. For tonight, let me show you four keys. There are four keys that empower any and every believer in Christ to walk in the experience of exemption, dominion, liberty, and victory. I give you a guarantee by the integrity of Scripture that if you lend me your attention and believe the truths you are about to hear, regardless what condition you found yourself, you will find a way out. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There are four keys at least that I want to make as a submission before you, and then we'll find somewhere to pray. So knowing that exemption is a reality is a powerful revelation, but stopping there will leave you disappointed. You must know the keys to access exemption, the keys to access all-round victory. Now please look up. Many believers usually stop at the awareness of the provisions that are available for them in Christ, but they do not press further to understand the dynamics of engaging with those provisions so that it becomes their experience here and now. Knowing what God has done is important, but it will not bless you till you know how to make it reality in your life. Are we together? Knowing God heals is important, but it may not get you healed. You must understand the dynamics of appropriating that truth so that it speaks in your life here and now. So there are many believers who pride themselves in the knowledge of the things that God can do and the things that are available in the kingdom, but their lives never capture that experience. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that you will pay attention to these keys. Someone shout one more time, say, I'm above all. So let me give you four keys very quickly. The keys that can empower the believer in Christ to command exemption. Key number one. The first key for everyone who desires for your case to be different, for everyone who desires to walk in the reality of dominion, liberty, and exemption, the first key is that you must have a functional knowledge of the God of exemption. A functional knowledge of the God of exemption. Exemption is sponsored by the power of God. You have to have a functional knowledge of God, particularly the God who exempts. If you do not have a functional knowledge of God, you will be weak in life. A functional, not theoretical, a functional knowledge of God, even the God of exemption. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. The Bible says that very clearly. It says, but the people that do know their God, the people that do know their God, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall not talk exploits, not wish exploits, not write books on exploits, do exploits. Are we learning? The people that do know their God. Now, look up, please. In this kingdom, you may have heard me say it many times, but let me say it here. Dominion for the believer and victory for the believer is derived from your oneness with God. The dominion of the believer is not absolute. In other words, it is not a fabrication of your own intelligence. Dominion for the believer is derived from the strength of your relationship with God. John chapter 15, when you read from verse 1 down to 16, Jesus took out time to speak, likening himself to the vine. And he said, his father is the vine, the husbandman. Are we together? He said, every branch that abides in me, the branch is the fruit-bearing part of the vine. You cut the branch away from the vine, it withers and it dries. So for the believer, your journey to victory, please listen everybody, your journey to dominion and your journey to exemption does not start by learning principles. It starts by having an encounter and a functional knowledge of the God of the Bible. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says the knowledge of the holy, that is understanding. It's important for us to know this. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Bible says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is what? Talk to me, believers. Talk to me, Taraba. Let's read. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. But you have to be aware of the Lord who is in the midst of you, and that he is mighty. Mighty to save. Mighty to exempt. Many people want to walk in dominion, but they do not take the time to know the Lord. It's important that we explore, we study from scripture. Who is this God that we serve? Is he a senator? Is he a king of some earthly geographic region? Who is he? Something happens to you when you come into a functional revelation of who God is. There's a cliche we use a lot in our world. Do you know who I am? Has that happened to anyone? So you meet someone, and once you are trying to downplay his intelligence, he just slaps it on your face. Are you aware? Do you know who I am? Or if they think they are nothing so much, they say, do you know who my uncle is? Or do you know who my father is? In case who I am is not threatening enough, do you know who my uncle is? There are kings, there are kingdoms, there are mountains and there are thrones, but only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. Listen, there are names, there are titles,
There are legends and tales of strength, but only Yeshua will reign forever. Psalm 62, 11 and 12. 62, 11 and 12. Psalm 62, 11. It says, God had spoken once. The God you serve does not speak five times over a situation. He spoke once. I have had twice that power. Power, not some, not some, not a tenured power. Power absolutely belongs to him. Are you seeing? Bible faith is not just derived on mechanics, it's derived, is anchored on the revelation of God, not things. Principles are powerful, but the knowledge of God overrides them all. Are we together now? Jesus was praying in John chapter 17 from verse 3. The Bible says, he said, and this is life everlasting, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. This is life indeed, that they may know thee. I like the way the apostle puts it. He says, but I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. There's something we do in Africa. I don't know if they do it in Taraba. It's called April Fool. April Fool means someone plays on your intelligence, just plays the strings of your emotions, and sometimes promises you something lofty. Just when you are about to believe it, they say April Fool, meaning I was just joking. And some of those jokes have been so expensive, people have gone to the hospital. God does not play April Fool. If he tells you I am mighty, believe him. If he tells you I can open doors, believe him. If he tells you I have the key of David, believe him. Are we together? Now listen, we are used to men making promises in our world and not fulfilling it. We are used to men betraying us. We are used to people giving us a kiss that we thought it was for love, whereas it was a sign to the enemy. And sometimes we bring that picture in dealing with God. And so there's a lot of suspicion. God, are you sure? This life, this hell, are you sure you are not scamming me? Hey, let me tell you the truth. The God that we serve is a God of integrity. The Bible says God is not a man that you should lie. Taraba, let me reintroduce that God to you. God is not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man. Pastor, I don't care what is happening in your church. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he has said it, he can bring it to pass. Please sit down. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1. I like this scripture. The Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he has said, and he did unto Sarah as he has spoken. If God says, I'm lifting you, there is no power in existence except your unbelief, except your disobedience, that sustains the power to bring you down. The three Hebrew boys did not just jump into fire. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Nobody in their right sense will be given an option to just bow and go home peacefully. What is there in bowing? Are we together? And the boy said, we are seeing this fire, hot, blazing, burning, and yet we prefer not to bow, that you even throw us there. He says, our God will deliver us. What did the boys know that gave them confidence to look at the king? What did Daniel know that even when they were going to throw him in the lion's den? The Bible says, as they threw Daniel, I can imagine, my goodness, my God. Daniel got in there and watched the lion. And the lions watched. What kind of man is this? We are hungry, but we cannot move. We are hungry, but we cannot eat. Because there is a mark. The Bible says his angels were sent. His angels were sent. It's in your Bible. Except you are not a Christian. The angels were sent. And these lions were there. Quiet.
Darius could not sleep. By morning, he got up and ran to the pit. He says, oh, Daniel. He didn't say, are you still a wise man? He said, has your God, whom you trusted, has he been able to deliver you? And there was silence for a few minutes. And hear the voice of a victorious one who was depending on a mighty God. He said, live well, O King. I am alive, for God had sent his angel. Let me prophesy over someone. When the door settles, you will still be standing. When they think you are dead, you will still be standing. I speak it to your spirit, man. Your family will not die. Your business will not die. In the name of Jesus. Some of you may be saying, Apostle, I wish you came earlier than now. Ask Mary. He said, Lazarus, where is he? He said, oh no, forget about him. Lazarus has been dead 3 days. If you were here earlier, our brother would not die. But let me preach the sermon of Mary for someone. She said, even now, if you were here, if Peniel had happened, let's say in July or in June, maybe, but even now, he's still the resurrection and the life. Is someone learning now? No, this is no entertainment. This is a ministry of the Spirit. I want you to believe it with all your heart. The God of Daniel is still alive. The God of Elijah is still alive. Is someone learning now? Let me tell you this. Every time we study about Abraham and Isaac, Bishop, you know, most times we don't talk about Isaac. We just talk about Abraham. I don't know what prayer Isaac was praying, because it was clear. Let me tell you, no matter how obedient that boy was, he was not a fool. That they are placing you on wood to roast you, and it's your father doing it. They didn't have the power to fight him. Don't you think he was just some zombie that lay down like that? No! Only God knew the kind of prayer that Isaac prayed. The Bible never told us. But maybe, just maybe, he said, oh God of my father, I don't know what is wrong with my father, but I know there's nothing wrong with you. My father wants to kill me. Even if he fails me, will you also fail me? Ah, my goodness. Someone is about to soar like an eagle. How about the nation of Israel? The Bible says they came out of Egypt by the mighty arm of God. And after they left, Pharaoh was angry. He said, what came over me? Pursue them. And the Red Sea was before them. Fierce Egyptians behind them. They were angry. And Moses was told to part the sea. And when they crossed over, the nation of Egypt said, oh, if it's that we are able, we have chariots. And as they went through, the sea covered them. And Miriam raised a song. She raised a song of victory. The Bible tells us we will sing the songs of Miriam. Can I sing that song for you? Here's what the song says. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and its riders has been thrown into the sea. Total victory. Listen. That I've been in trouble for 430 years does not justify the trouble remaining. The day light comes, it must go. But you see, your confidence is based on the God that you know. The knowledge of him is what shrinks your mountains. The knowledge of God. Most believers do not take the time to meditate. Man of God, I know you are doing ministry, but have you taken out time to study the God who sent you? Let's learn from a wise man, Moses. Moses said, God, you are sending me to Pharaoh. I was supposed to be in that position if I'd remain in Egypt. I understand wizardry that happened there. I understand the demonic things. These guys are not normal human beings. They are in a fraternity with dark spirits. Now you are sending me to go and advocate the exodus of people who were there before I was born. He said, who shall I tell Moses? Who shall I tell Pharaoh has sent me? Reveal yourself to me first. Let me verify that you are not one of the gods, because Pharaoh will ask me. And God answered him. He said, I am that I am.
He said, when you stand before Pharaoh, tell him, I am, have sent you. Are we together? Moses did not just get up and go to Pharaoh. Who told you the gates of Taraba will open because you were born here? No. It will only open because of the God that sent you. Because of the God that backed you. The Bible says, and the Lord walking with them, confirming the word. Not their instincts. The Lord, not just experience. The Lord walking with them. The people that do know their God. Let me tell you, the secret of exploits is to pay the price to know God as a functional revelation. Satan cometh to me. Sickness will test you. I can tell you that. Failure will test you. Attacks will test you. But your confidence is based on the knowledge of God. For someone, this conference came to initiate you into a process where you stay and say, God, reveal yourself to me. I'm tired of preaching a theoretical God. I'm tired of talking about a God who's, I'm not even confident about him. I know whom I have believed. See, I have the privilege by the mercies of God of serving Jesus across various platforms, and I'm honored that he's granted me this privilege. I've traveled to nations, I've stood before kings, I've stood before great and mighty people. I've stood and I've been in positions where if I did not know God and I did not trust the integrity of his word, I probably would have brought great reproach to the name of the Lord. Because there are times when your demonstration of the knowledge of God will be forced to be made public. It will be tested openly. By the time you go to regions where there's widespread skepticism, and while you are there shouting and teaching and sweating, intellectuals are looking at you with anger, just waiting for you to finish your sermon without demonstrating that God, and then you see what follows. When you are saying, God, send me, the first prayer is, God, reveal yourself to me before you send me, so that I do not become a casualty to your program. Reveal yourself. So that when I stand before Pharaoh, the fierceness of his face, the wizardry of Egypt will not scare me. When you have seen something higher and greater, you don't fear what is lesser. Someone lift your hands in 1 minute and say, Father, reveal yourself afresh to me. Please turn that into a prayer for 1 minute. Let's pray the prayer that Paul prayed, that I may know him. This was the chiefest, one of the finest of the apostles. He said that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. You must know the God you serve. You must know the God who has sent you. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. For someone here, God is going to quicken a revelation of his power in your life. I sense in my spirit that someone came for this conference, and some of you are in ministry. But because of the abundance of the revelation of God that you have, you will see the miraculous in ways you have never seen. Your faith will come alive. You will do marvelous things for God. Say amen. Now please look at me. How many of you know, and I always give this example. Let me give that, then probably we'll talk about one or two more. If we're not able to finish, we'll continue tomorrow. Imagine that you got a text right now in your phone from a supposed Joshua Selman saying, how are you? I am just calling you to let you know that I want to prophesy to you. Send me some money. Immediately you know you are dealing with a scammer. Why? Because you see me in your presence, and then if you have known me, number one, I don't even know how to do that thing. I don't know how they do it. Are we together now? But if you don't know me, someone can lie that is me and you will believe it and transfer your trust and confidence and part away, for an example, with your money, only to discover that he scammed you. Is somebody learning now?
When you know what God can do, what Satan can do does not matter. The reason why what Satan can do looks like a big deal is because you have not studied who God is and what he can do. Soon answer, yes. One day has feed you can soon, soon answer, yes. One day I feed you can soon answer, yes. One day I feed you can soon, in my little walk with God, I have seen the faithfulness of God demonstrated in the life of men. Please, everybody, look at me. For someone, I'm reintroducing God to you. The mountains are a representation of your ignorance of who God is. Mountains of financial bills. The reason why it's overwhelming you is because you are still not sure of the God who sent you. Maybe you are not even sure he sent you. That you have been ordained and consecrated and commissioned does not mean you are sure God sent you. That is a different business. And can I tell you the truth? It's better to know him before you start that journey, because there will be storms on the way. The fact that Jesus is in your boat will not stop storms from arising. It will only guarantee that regardless storms, you will get to the other side. Is someone learning now? But I know whom I have believed. I've gone through things in my life you cannot imagine. You know, sometimes when people see preachers, they only see the side that represent glory and grace. You have no idea. Ladies and gentlemen, I've gone through demonic attacks. I've had all kinds of things. I've seen spirits. I know what it means to be confronted by the gate of darkness. But I also know what it means to see the power of God. My goodness, my God. I know God is powerful. This one for me is beyond miracles. I have seen God arise. I know that a man's case can be different. That when God beats his chest and says, "Your turn," woe betides the person who stands in front of you. Do you believe that? This is no entertainment. Let me tell you this. When God says it is your turn, and the men he has anointed to announce you refuse, he will push them and come by himself. Pick you. Pick you. I want you to believe this. Believe it. Respect men, but don't worship them. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. There is a God that lifts men. There is a God that changes a man's story. Don't let anybody look down on you. Respect people, admire people, but not at the detriment of your own destiny. The same Lord is rich unto all. If you know who that God is, he can lift you. The God that I know can lift a man from anywhere to anywhere. Anywhere to anywhere. The God that I know restores. The God that I know heals. The God that I know anoints. That a man can come in for Peniel with his head dry, but by the time you are sharing the grace, carry fire, carry oil. Hallelujah. Do you believe what you are hearing? The God that I know is the one who can move and operate on a by this time tomorrow dimension. Have you heard that in your Bible? That by this time tomorrow, you can tell a man his life will change. That whilst you are here in church, the angels of the Lord can be scheduling a new prophetic season for you. Raising your helpers. That what they've forgotten about you, but a book of remembrance can be opened. And a man can say, "How come I forgot this man?" And all of a sudden, find no rest until you are lifted.
Iba ho, Iba, Iba ho, Iba,
My words are not enough. My vocabulary will fail. Permit me to cry out, Iba.
Listen, I look at my life today. I'll tell you something. Many years ago, when God showed me these days of my life, when I looked at it, I was shocked myself. If not because I knew God, I would laugh at myself and say, don't be stupid. But God, let me tell you, don't get used to people lying to you and think God is one of them. Don't get used to people failing you and think God is one of them. Don't get used to people disappointing you and say and think God. No, God is steadfast. He's a God of integrity. Someone say, I believe in God. Please be seated. I believe in Him. I believe in Him. The Bible says, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. The one who will experience exemption, especially in this end time. Please hear me, pastors. Hear me, business people. Hear me, families. Hear me, Taraba. Hear me, Northeast. The ones who will experience dominion, liberty, victory, and exemption will be the people that do know their God. Perhaps I think I shared it here one of the times I was here. Let me say it for 1 minute and then I'll give you the second key. There are three ways, according to scripture, to know God, to study God. As mysterious as God is, He can be known. And there are three dimensions to the study of God. Number one, the first way we know God is by studying His character. Write that down, please. The first way we know God is by taking a thorough study on His character. When you know the character of a man, you have known that man. Are we together? How many of you know there are people who are gentle, they are soft-spoken, and if somebody tries to describe that man and says he's harsh and aggressive, you know they are lying. The character of a man can reveal who he is. Psalm 103, please read it from the start to finish. It's, in my opinion and in my study of scripture, the most concise description of God's character. Psalm 103, 1 to the end. Bless the Lord, he says, O my soul. And bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His benefits. And He begins to describe so many things about God. His loving kindnesses. His tender mercies. You have to understand the character of the God who has called you. Who has saved you. For an example, the Bible tells us that His mercies triumph over judgment. That quality of God is very important for your walk with Him. So that it gives you the confidence and the boldness to approach Him regardless what has happened in your life. Are we together now? Yes. The Bible tells us that He is kind. The Bible tells us He is good. Goodness is one of the most visible expressions of the glory of God, the goodness of God. When Moses said, let me see your glory, show me your glory, he said, I will let my goodness. No man can be good except you are connected to God. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, good master, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And he looks at him and says, you call me good. No man is good except God. Do you know what it means to be good? You may have heard me teach it, but goodness is an aggregate of three qualities. Number one, you must be thoughtful. Number two, you must be kind. Number three, you must be compassionate. Until these three things happen, you can't be said to be a good person. Goodness is an aggregate of thoughtfulness. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil to bring you a future and an expected end. Kindness is loving kindnesses. His compassions, they fail not. You see that now? So when you say, I am good, make sure you go back and find out, are you thoughtful? Are you compassionate? Are you kind? It's a quality that only the Spirit of God can produce in a man. It's one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Expressions of the fruits of the Spirit. Goodness. Are we learning now? When you know God is a good God, you will reverence Him, but not fear Him like Adam did. Is someone learning now? There are things you need to know. You need to know that God is a righteous judge. You need to know that God is a God of all flesh. You need to know that He is all powerful. You learn God by studying His character. Number two, you learn God by studying His principles and His ways. When you study the principles of God, it opens you up to know how He operates. You learn God by studying His principles. It's called His wisdom. Number three, you learn God by studying His power or His works. The Bible says the heavens declare His glory. So when you study His creation, the manifestations of His power within our world, it helps you to know who God is. Paul prayed that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. He prayed that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. When he got to verse 19, he said that you may know the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. The exceeding greatness of His power. When you know, he said, our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. By thy great power. Not outsourced from anywhere. When you understand the attributes of God, theologically, there are six attributes that define God. And of all those six attributes, that's not what I'm teaching now. But there are six attributes. It's important for you to know this. And of those attributes, God only shared a few of them with man. He did not share all of them. He's the self-existent one, for an example. Are we together? The three that we know, He is omnipotent, meaning He's all powerful. He's omniscient, all knowing. Are we together? He's omnipresent, everywhere at the same time. He's eternal. He's self-existent. That means He does not depend on any other entity to power His life. Anything that is life form on earth comes from a central point, God. Whether it's plant life, whether it's corrupted life, once it is life, it came from a single point, God. When you know this about God, then it strengthens your faith. When God says go, you now think, who told me to go? For an example, if some ambassador or the head, let's say for an example, one of these billionaires, you are telling him, sir, I need a house in Taraba. And he says, okay, on my honor, go. Go and pick any house. Some of you will run maybe straight to GRA or run somewhere. Even if there's an occupant in it, you say, go out. The master had need of it. Because you are confident, am I right on that? That the person who sent you has the wherewithal to afford no matter the cost. It will sound very foolish and demeaning if you looked at a true billionaire and he says, sir, sorry, I just want to be verified if you can afford the house. Just to let you know, the house is 100 million. And while you are calling it, the man is looking at you and saying, this is your understanding of me. That's how we insult God sometimes. And I'm not speaking just in financial times. The Bible says they limited the Holy One by saying, can God make a wilderness, a way in the wilderness? Many of us have limited God. God, can a helper come to help my ministry outside of Taraba? And God says, me, the God of all flesh, that I brought a raven from a place you do not know to come and feed a man for years. That I made an army to have food that can feed the entire Samaria, and they ran away and left it. I pray for us in the name of Jesus that in this conference, God will give us a renewed revelation of Himself. You believe that? Say amen. The dimension of God you know is the dimension you reveal to your generation. If you encounter God the deliverer, you will be a deliverer to your generation. If you encounter Rapha, you will be Rapha to your generation, an extension of Him. Are we together? We need to press to know God, beginning from us servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then extending to everyone. Let every home in Taraba become a platform for the knowledge of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Maybe it's not too early to encourage families in Taraba and those who are following me. Please, as God grants you grace, restore back family altars. Maybe I should. Is it all right if I say that? Restore back prayers at home. Naile Fiko. Should I say it again? And I pray in the name of Jesus that fathers will spearhead it. That they won't be sleeping while prayer is happening in the morning or happening in the night. Let the men say amen. And I pray that the young people will not run away when they call for prayer. Young people say amen. But I tell you sincerely, please listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. A family that rejects God has also rejected exemption. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The Bible says, Proverbs 3 and verse 5, and lean not unto your own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own understanding. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Please, let's restore godliness back to our homes. The fear of the Lord, the study of the word, the place of prayer. Every time we declare, you know, prayerlessness is the highest form of pride, because it's a declaration of independence that you do not need the help of God. And when you declare that you do not need his help, he will respect you. The unfortunate thing is that you will be a victim of every shade of evil. But I'm praying for someone where your prayer altar has gone down, where your word study altar has gone down, where the spirituality of your home has gone down, either because you are sincerely running around looking for money or sincerely trying to make ends meet. I don't condemn you, but I pray for you from my heart. The grace to restore that fire in your life and your home. Receive it now. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Those under the anointing, let every church, let every home become an expression of the church. Fathers, take your place. Husbands, take your place. Young people, take your place. Gather around with a few of your friends and say, listen, let's study the Bible. You can just pick the character of God and study all through scripture. You will be surprised to see what happens to you. A generation of people that do not know God is a generation that will never taste victory in experience. Are we together? The pastor can create the platform, but you must take responsibility to know God. Take responsibility. Oh, I sense a strong anointing in this place. We'll soon pray. We'll soon pray. I sense a strong anointing.
Your glory is tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something great. Awaken supernatural faith. Your glory is tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something great. Awaken supernatural faith. Yahweh Rapha Elohim Shaddai Jireh Adonai, manifest yourself. Yahweh Rapha Elohim Shaddai Jireh Adonai, manifest yourself. Who is like him? Lion and the Lamb seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roll to the Lord of Lords. We will praise Adonai from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the elders and the saints. Shabalaka paradukasyata. That we may know you, O God. That the families in Taraba will know you as the only true God. That pastors will know you, know your power, know your wisdom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Please, let me give you an assignment. Go and study Psalm 103. Please write it down. Psalm 103. Even this night, you can take the time. Please go and read it, beginning to end. Something happens to you. You can't stretch your hands and tell a sick person be healed. What is in your hand that you think will make the person healed? You are not a herbalist. What do you think is flowing from you to the person? And where is it coming from? And who is the giver of it? But I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded. Taraba, be persuaded. Prayer warriors, be persuaded. Pastors, be persuaded. The days that are before us will test your knowledge of God. By the time they tell you your son is sick and the doctor said there is nothing we can do, it will test your knowledge of God. By the time they tell you you have a history of cancer in your family, let me tell you, know God early. Know him well. Know God early. Know him well. Pay the price to know him so that you can look at cancer, you can look at pain and say, regardless what I see, I look at the things that are unseen. I know that there is a God in heaven. Please sit down. Let me give you one more key. Our time is spent. Let me just give you one more key. I'm giving you four. Let me introduce one and then we'll take the remaining for tomorrow. Let me encourage you, invite everybody around Taraba. We'll pray to end tonight's meeting, but we'll take the time tomorrow all through the sessions and hopefully minister to the sick and minister to your needs. The Lord created this as a prophetic convergence for everyone, even though it's been hosted by the Anglican Communion, but the blessing is to the entire region. He said, this promise is unto you and to your children, your children's children, even as many as are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. So call those who are afar off and tell them there is fire burning. Come and partake, come and receive in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, you desire a life whose case is always different, a life of exemption, a life that is above all. Number two, in addition to knowing the God that has sent you, the God that you serve, and the God of exemption, you must know who you are in Christ. The second project after knowing God is to know who you are in Christ. And let me respectfully beckon on you, don't play down on this project of studying who you are in light of who Christ is. Not who you are as far as someone born in Taraba. Not who you are as someone born as a Nigerian or an African. That is important. But for your victory, it's important for you to know who you have become right now, in light of what Christ has done. Psalms 49. Psalms 49 and verse 20. Please give it to us, Psalm 49 and verse 20. Who you are in Christ. Most times, believers think the knowledge of who you are in Christ is very elementary and is very basic, and is for people who are just coming into the faith. But you will be surprised. You can know who God is, but if you don't know who you are, it's like having electricity that is working, but the product that it power is defective. Are we together? You must know who you are, because you are the vessel God will use to reveal himself to your world. Knowing who he is powerful, foundational. But once you are done with that project, or in addition to that project, you must know who you are. The Bible says, man that is in honor, read with me, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like a beast in the field that perisheth. The Bible says, an heir, for as long as that heir is a child, in experience he differeth nothing from a slave, even though by ordination he should be lord of all. There are many believers today who try to approach spiritual things without taking the time to study who the believer is in Christ. This is a foundational doctrinal project that every believer must press to know. Who are you in Christ? If you say, who are you as per your family? Some of you, all you are going to find from that history is idol worship and a terrible life that will even scare you. But who are you in Christ? Give us Ephesians chapter 1, please. From verse 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 1, 20 and 21. Ephesians 20 and 21. 1, 20 and 21. Okay. The Bible says, oh, let's start from 19 for context. Media, just back down. Verse, the Bible says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. 20, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ. Watch this. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, it says, far above principalities, powers, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world that is to come. In fact, can you give us the next verse? The Bible says, and he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, or for the sake of the church. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2, I believe verse 6. Let's look at 2 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Please read it if you are a Christian. 1, 2, go. Who is the us? Who is the us? And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Now, from a theological standpoint, when you have studied the believer's identity, there are two elements, in fact, three elements of that identity. Number one is called your oneness with Christ. You have to examine the extent of your oneness with Christ. The Bible calls us joint heirs. The Bible calls us branches connected to the vine. Are we together? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says he that is joined to Christ is one spirit. Do you believe that? So the first, you, if you want to know who you are in Christ, you have to take a thorough study on your oneness. The Pauline epistles give us a very exceptional exegesis as to who the believer is. Jesus just told us he was going to die, but it was Paul by the Spirit who gave us a theological background to understand that Jesus did not just die. We died in him. We died in him. We were buried with him in baptism. Are we together now? And that when he was raised up, we were raised up with him. I like the word together. Never forget that word together. Together is the secret of the believer's dominion. You've heard me say, I can fail alone, but me and God cannot fail together. If you leave me alone, I'm already a failure. But once you bring God into the equation, David Yonggi-cho will call him Holy Spirit, my senior partner. Are we learning now? A oneness with Christ. Number two is your positional advantage. Here it is, Ephesians 2 and verse 6. Raised up. It's a spiritual reality, raised up and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Far above thrones, dominions, every name that is named. This is not just some church gibberish. It's truth from scripture. You must believe it. I'm one with Christ, and then I've been raised up with him. Are we together? Called out of every tribe. I know there were curses in my background. I know based on my background, people don't rise. But my Bible says I've been called out of every tribe and every tongue and every nation. I've been grafted into Christ. Did the Bible not tell you he that cometh from above? Talk to me, Bible students. Is what? He that cometh from above. He that cometh from Taraba is a lovely northerner. But you will be a victim of the realities of your territory. He that comes from America is privileged, but you will be a victim of whatever the territory carries. But he that cometh from above. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, John 3 and verse 1. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles which thou doest, except God be with him. You have to study your oneness. You have to study your positional advantage. Then you have to study the responsibilities that are connected to that privilege. This is how you study who you are in Christ. But give me one moment and let me remind you of who the Bible says you are. Number one, the Bible calls you the righteousness of God in Christ. If you are saved, that nature has been imputed in you. Number two, the Bible calls you the temple of the Holy Ghost. Are we together now? That the Holy Spirit, representing the fullness of God, dwells within you. Number three, the Bible tells us that you are a joint heir with Christ. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. The Bible calls you ambassadors. The Bible calls you light. The Bible calls you salt. Who is learning? Light, salt. Last time I came here, I spoke to you about light and salt. Light is powerful. It can be in one point, yet the effect is felt everywhere. How about salt? It is never too late to add salt to food. Even if you made a mistake and you forget and the meal is over, you will add salt and not know it was the last ingredient you added. That means you will never go out of relevance because you are salt. It is never too late to find a space for you. Even if others have been there, when you show up, there is a space for you because you are salt. Is somebody learning now? What does the Bible call you? He calls you a blessing. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You have to believe this. You have to believe this. I carried this mentality, my brothers and my sisters. Once we were on our way coming to Taraba, I was happy. Happy that I have the honor of serving Jesus again. But I was also happy for everyone who will listen to me, because I come in the name of the Lord. It says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I knew without prophesying that your life will not be the same. Not because I'm any special, but because I'm representing the government of heaven. When I speak, I don't speak. It's beyond the frailty of my words. There is a ministry of the Spirit that is happening to your spirit man. Listen, being confident of who you are in God is far different from being arrogant. We're not talking of these braggadocious things that sometimes we do in church. No, the knowledge of God should not make you arrogant, as it were, but it makes you confident. This is who God has made me. There are some things I cannot believe about myself. No. If you say I'm a failure, well, it's too late, both scientifically, emotionally, and I don't know how to describe it. It's too late. If you call me stupid, the revelation of my oneness with Christ is like a spiritual immigration system. It doesn't allow anything cross beyond certain borders to my mind. Wonderfully and fearfully made. That's who you are. It says you are a blessing. Pastors, as you stand on that pulpit, don't stand as if you are a weak. Linguistically, you may not have all that privilege, but just know that you are coming in the name of the Lord and that your heart is indicting a good matter. Yea, you speak of excellent things, that your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. When you open up your mouth, know that you are writing blessings in the lives of people. Are we together now? I told you, respect people, but not at the detriment of your self-worth. We live in a day where social media can bully you. Lives can bully you. Someone can look at you and feel you are not wearing this, you are not wearing. Yes, it's a spiritual reality. You can go with your money and go with your pedigree. I am the son of a king, I am a child of God. It's the noblest honor that any man can be given on earth. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. It says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear. Somebody learning. Someone shout, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a blessing to Taraba. I didn't ask you whether you have a job or not. I didn't ask you if people have clapped for you. I didn't ask you if you have a platform or not. Just say, I'm a blessing. Carry that mentality. Honestly, I believed this many years ago and it changed my life. When I get into a territory or when I approach people, it's almost affected my capacity to receive, because I've been indoctrinated with the idea of giving. And it's not arrogance. If I have an encounter with you and your life remains the same, I will go for a retreat. Something is wrong. I will go for a retreat. It's not pride, it's the truth. That the life of God flows through you. I actually shook your hands and said, God bless you, and nothing changed. Come on now. No. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. That's how to be a blessing. Imagine a preacher carrying this mentality, and then you walk to church and say, please open to the book of this. You know that you are standing as a signpost. You are communicating life. You may not feel like you are, but he has qualified you by his spirit. Is somebody learning now? Let me tell you this. Low self-esteem can kill. The cure for it is beyond therapy. It's a revelation that you have been engrafted into Christ. You are the beloved. You may not have all the physical expressions, but it does not change that reality. Someone say, I'm loved by God. Say, I'm a blessing to my world. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm a blessing. Say, I'm a blessing to Taraba. Now, let me speak to the youth for 1 minute. Say, in the name of Jesus, I will not destroy my state. I will not destroy my family. I'm talking to the youth. Say, in the name of Jesus, the wisdom of God is at work in my life. The youth, say, I am productive. Say, I have an excellent spirit. Say, I am diligent. Say, I'm a man or a woman of honor. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm the future of the church in Taraba. Say, I reject low self-esteem. Say, I may have failed yesterday. I may have a past that is not the best. But now, I am a child of God, on fire for God. Believe that. Listen, you may be staying in a hut, but let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he said, from where thou art, lift up your eyes. Your eyes is what will change first. Lift up your eyes. You may not have food in your house, but know you are a blessing. Don't wait for designers and all of that. Are you listening to me, my preachers? Don't wait for designers and all of that. And don't let people get you into that statement that because you don't have this, you don't have that. Respect them, but carry your trouble and go while you leave me with my God.
If all I have is Jesus, I've got something more than gold. I will tell it to my world. Jesus is more.
Listen, I want you to walk out of this place tonight saying, I am light, I'm a blessing. Listen, even if they knew you to be a stubborn person, go back home and say, in Jesus' name, I've changed. It is true that Jesus died, but he didn't die forever. He only died for 3 days and came back to life. Don't talk about the one dying when he's already back to life. Let me speak to the youth of this state in 1 moment. If you believe that those ahead of you have a better future than you, you have destroyed the future of your state. Now, thank God, respect elders, from your government to your parliament, but always know that in Christ, are we together? The path of the just. That means we are yet to see the best governor of Taraba. That means we are yet to see the best ambassadors in Taraba. Do you believe that? That you don't have a job now does not mean your destiny is failing. Are we learning now? Don't let people look at you and say, it's just church, church, church. This man, you are not doing anything. It's just God, God, God. No, sir. Rejoice not over me, my enemies. I may not look like it now, but I'm changing. Now, let me say this. You have to behave like you believe what you just said. I just sense to speak to the youth for one moment. You can't behave violent, disobedient, careless, disrespectful, irresponsible, and say you are light. You are not light, sir. Are we together? That's right. You find somebody stealing somebody's thing, tell him, go and return it. There is a nobler way. The wisdom of God can empower you. No young person should get up in the morning. If you are in this place listening to me and you are up to 13 in my world, you are an adult. Adult is not 18 in my world. Once you are from 13, you are an adult. Be responsible. Your father didn't go to school. Your mother didn't go to school. No problem, because you believe that that grace for exemption is on you. Get up in the morning. You may not have work, but go and intern somewhere and tell it is better to walk with honor and dignity than to stroll around wasting away. So don't just confess. I'm going to be releasing grace upon you, but let that change start. And when you go to your friends, with all due respect, the ones who come to meet you early in the morning don't have anything to do with their day. Tell them, I came for Peniel, and I learned that a life of responsibility is a demonstration of faith. So can you excuse me? I will call you at the weekend and we'll gist. But for now, I'm building my destiny. But you don't have a job. What are you doing? I'm praying. What are you doing? I'm learning human relation principles. Hallelujah. I believe in the Northeast. I believe in Taraba. I believe in all the regions here. But we must be honest. The church is a place that believers must be taught a wholesome approach to a balanced, responsible spiritual life. When I came in and I saw a number of the youths, you know, serving in this, in fact, we should celebrate from the protocol to those, the greeters outside. Let's celebrate them. The Boys Brigade and the Coppers. I saw the NYC, the Coppers. Please, let's give them a resounding round of applause. Hallelujah. And perhaps I should say this before we pray. Thank God for some of the politicians that are here. Please let me just lend my voice. I know you'll do it. But when we find the youth giving their best, let's encourage them. Encourage them. Whether it's with little grants, little scholarships, don't encourage laziness. But when you find responsibility, encourage it. It becomes a blessing to others. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Who are you in Christ? I'm a child of God. Who are you in Christ? I am a blessing. Who are you in Christ? I am light. I am salt. When you believe you are light and salt, it will culture you to behave like light and salt. The grace to be it will rest upon you. Is somebody learning now? Please rise up on your feet. We have to find somewhere to stop. I'll give you the remaining two keys tomorrow. But I want us to pray for 1 minute.
Gashina, Gamuna, Sir King Aljana, Yanana, Gashina, Gamuna, Gashina, Gamuna. Gamuna, Sir King Aljana, Yanana, Gashina,
listen. One of the biggest problems of Africa, one of the biggest problems of our precious nation, and I love my nation greatly, but I'll tell you this. Nobody will do the assignment of believing yourself for you. Are we together? Nobody. Africa as a continent, we must learn to believe that even though we are frail as individuals, because we are backed up by a great and mighty God, it makes all the difference. There are many preachers today, by your preordination, there is an ordination of greatness, but you are still where you are because something in you tells you you are not that great. Something in you tells you, oh, that is for others minus you. But we are going to pray for one moment, and you are going to decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that every mentality that downplays who and what Christ has made me to become, I challenge it now in the name of Jesus. That your territory will not be a limitation, that your background will not be a limitation. The consciousness of who you are in Christ is what positions you to live a life of dominion. Open your mouth and begin to thank Him. Open your mouth and begin to thank Him and make declarations of faith. Open your mouth.
Ashina Amona Sarking Alchana Yadana Ashina Amona.
Hallelujah. Listen, this conference is personal. I take it very personally because I am one of you. So for me, I don't consider myself an invited guest. I consider myself a son of the soil by extension, who is coming to hold the hands of the region. And let's give God a chance to bring glory out of our lives and out of our region. But listen to me. At the risk of sounding proud, when you hear of the things that God has done and the things that God is doing through our lives, sometimes people think that there was such great advantage, Bishop, maybe some advantage somewhere, and some people were just lucky. Others say, well, it's just preordination. God decided. No. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says we do not have a high priest who has not been touched with the feelings of our infirmity. I grew up like everyone, with challenges like everyone. But the thing I can tell you is the grace of God. The one thing that changed my life is the day I found out who I was in Christ. That when God told me I can take you from that lowly estate and take you across the nations of the earth for my name's sake. I didn't look like much, but I believed him. I have a dear senior friend, and sometimes when we are talking, we jokingly tell ourselves, we say, who am I and who is my father's house? But this is what God can do. Let me tell you, don't just say it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God maximized. Because the grace of God can be abused. The grace of God can be ignored. The grace of God can be neglected. I believe that part of the reason why God raised people like us, particularly of this northern descent, is to be a sign to many. This is not all God wants to do. This is just an example of what God can do with men who dare to believe Him. Please, I'd like you to find a believing neighbor, whether by your left or right. You are going to intercede for that person and say, Lord, all you have in store for their prophetic destiny, grant them the grace to align until they see the fullness of it manifest. Please lift your voice and pray for your neighbor. All that you have in store, as far as dominion, the service of the kingdom, greatness, exemption, power, wisdom, influence is concerned, bring them to a point of alignment through understanding, that they will believe that you meant it when you called them the head and not the tail. That they will believe you meant it when you told them that they will be lifted, exalted above the nations of the earth. 1 minute, lift your voice. Lift your voice. For those who have connected online, we bind the spirit of low self-esteem, that demonic spirit that has hijacked families, hijacked ministries, hijacked pastors.
kept people in the hiding like Gideon. I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. That you can believe that God can do much with you. He can shake the nations through your life. He can finance the kingdom through your life. Blessed is she that believes, for unto her there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken of by the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Tomorrow we'll take the time to intercede for Taraba. Tomorrow we'll take the time to minister to the sick. Tomorrow we'll take and release the captives from bondage. But if there are two things I want you to live with tonight, is that exemption, a life that is different from others, a life that is exalted above vicissitudes and limitations, is a possibility, but in Christ. And that when you are grafted into Christ, your first assignment as a project is to contend to have a functional knowledge of the God who has sent you. Number two, to take the time to understand who He has made you in Christ. And that when you have that understanding, in addition to the other keys I will show you, inevitably your case will certainly be different. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone stand. Allow me to make the altar call. This is also a crusade. It is a convergence that is first hinged at soul winning. You cannot be in the kingdom except you come to Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, please listen, that He gave His then only begotten Son. It says that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. It says God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I saw several people outside when I came in, and many following online, and many in this beautiful auditorium. I'm about to make the altar call. You are in this place and you are saying, Apostle, Bishop, I heard the preacher, and honestly, I know that I need to make it right with Jesus. Two calls in one. You are saying, Apostle, I know that the Holy Ghost has been pricking my heart to make things right with Jesus. The first call is for you. The second call is for those who are saying, Apostle, I remember making it right with Jesus at one time, but honestly, the way my life is right now, my life has gone haywire. I need a rededication of my life. This is the greatest miracle that needs to happen here and now. I'm going to count 1 to 5 wherever you are, whether you are outside, whether you are inside. I'd like you to run as I begin to count. Come and stand right in front of me. Give me the honor of leading you to this Jesus, not another one. The one who empowers, the one who blesses. Make sure you understand what you're doing. I count 1 to 5. If there are ushers or counselors, please direct them so they don't confuse who you are. I begin my counting now. 1. Run to Jesus. Leave your seat and come. Let's celebrate them as they come. Please clear the way for them as they come. Taraba, are you celebrating salvation? 2. Come to Jesus. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, now you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down. 4. I still see some gentlemen coming, some ladies coming. Let's celebrate them. The devil is a liar over Taraba. It's a new beginning for the church in Taraba. Please don't kneel. You can stand so that the rest can have the space. 4. If you're still coming, come. Apostle, I've lived my life anyhow. Can God receive me? Absolutely. Please be on your way. Join them quickly. Join them quickly. He can give you a new beginning.
He can give you a new beginning. You can start afresh again. Please put the camera on my face and let me speak over someone who is watching by way of television or by way of the internet. We're here in Taraba at Peniel Conference, and this is the altar call. I want to use this opportunity to extend the invite of salvation to someone. Perhaps you are watching from outside of this nation, across the globe, or you are watching from your home through television or through the internet. I want you to know that Jesus truly saves, but he only saves those who come to him and declare their need for him and declare his lordship over them. And as these ones make the confession of faith, let me encourage you to join them. I may not see you are the other side of this camera, but I want you to know that the all-seeing eye of the Savior is there with you, and that as you make this declaration of faith, salvation becomes yours in the name of Jesus. All of you who are in front, God bless you, my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for the courage. The Bible says, no man cometh to the Father except by him. Blessed is the man that God causes to approach him. Would you lift your right hand high above your head? Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Say this after me as loud and as clear as you are able to. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From today, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Now let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus and by the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. I call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. The grace to live the victorious Christian life, I impart upon your spirit. I decree and declare that you go forward ever and backward never. And it's in Jesus' mighty and marvelous name we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, please do me a favor. There are a number of you, so I'll request that you be gentle when you're moving. Please, can you move to my left? Who is the counselor? Where are the counselors? Can you wave your hand so that they see you? Is there anyone in charge of this? Okay, this way. How are they coming? This way? All right, so all of you, you would go to my right. That will be your left. Please, all of you in mass, the counselors have been trained. They will have a word with you and a prayer very quickly. Thereafter, you will return back to your seat. Please do cooperate with them. Let's honor them as they go. Come on, Taraba. Come on, Peniel. Can we celebrate them? Can we celebrate them? Can we celebrate salvation? Celebrate salvation. Hallelujah. So while they are on their way going, let me encourage you for one last time. The conference is still ongoing. The fire is burning and burning hotter and hotter. Please invite the pastors, politicians, heads of parliament or house of assembly, parents, youth, children, all people groups. Tell them God has an appointment with them all through tomorrow. And please discipline yourself. Listen for the timings and make sure you take the time prayerfully. Prayerfully. Come with your heart opened. And the Lord will do you good in Jesus' name. And at the permission of his lordship, if he allows that, let me plead that tomorrow night you come with your prayer requests. So that, is that all right, sir? So tomorrow night you come with your prayer requests. For those of you who are not able to come, who are following online, there should be a way that you send in your prayer requests. And part of the things we'll be doing in the night is to be praying over the needs and the requests of God people. God's people. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus, and see you tomorrow.